We're very happy at this time to turn the platform over to our brother Michael Balco of Orlando, and his topic is entitled, He Leadeth Me. He Leadeth Me. Brother Michael.
Timothy and Ryan, how much we've enjoyed this convention and how many rich blessings we have received from being here. We are indeed thankful for all the labors of love that have been so richly showered and bestowed upon us. We do love all of you. And we wanted also to mention the brethren in Orlando. Brother Ed also had brought that love with him. But all the brethren down in Orlando wanted to be remembered too, each and every one of you. And they do love you. We thought this morning we would consider some words from the 23rd Psalm. And really, some other scriptures that are found in the Psalms. I enjoy the Psalms very much. I find these words, as I'm sure you do, very dear, very comforting, and uplifting. As we can see, really coming out of the pages in the Psalms, the love and devotion that a child of God has for the Heavenly Father. And we know that these are words that we read and study on. We strive to apply them in our daily lives, that we can draw closer to the Heavenly Father. We can serve Him come what may. We, of course, are speaking of the words that David so beautifully wrote in his life's experiences. We know that a few miles south of the city of Jerusalem lies the city of the great king, Jerusalem, which would be Bethlehem. Most people are aware of the fact that this is the birthplace of our Lord. It's mentioned in the churches and so forth, although they don't have an understanding of what He stood for. Don't have an understanding that He was this great king that will eventually bring blessings to all the families of the earth. And here we have mentioned as the birthplace of David, the son of Jesse. In Luke 1:31-33, we have the words, on the throne of his father David. In Matthew 1:1, Jesus, son of David. And Jeremiah 23:5-6, raise up a king unto David, a righteous branch. So indeed, David has many words of great importance to us as we study and we strive to understand what our Lord Jesus represented. We look at the words from this 23rd Psalm, the second verse, words that I'm sure are familiar to us all. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and He leadeth me beside the still waters. The still, the quiet, the calm waters. And as we look out upon the waters, perhaps down in a valley surrounded by mountains as we have in this area, we realize that the quiet, calm waters are deep waters. And this so beautifully illustrates the depth of God's love and His wisdom and His power and how we have the deep things of the truth that we are able to dwell beside and then to use them for refreshment, for nourishment, as we strive to dwell in these green pastures during our entire life here on earth. Truly we are blessed that we have a Father that provides these things for us. And these wonderful words that we can grasp hold of in our lives, that we can strive to serve Him and be pleasing in His sight. For the Lord indeed is our shepherd, and we shall not want for anything. He helps us in our spiritual lives so much that we can't count the ways. And He has a faithful shepherd to lead us, to lead the flock, to help them obtain this best refreshment, the best nourishment, As we sang this opening hymn, number 71, Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim in this barren land. We see contrasted the barrenness of the world and its ambitions and its vain hopes and vain glories. We look at them as pitfalls that can trap us and trap our flesh and get our minds down and away from spiritual things. We compare these to these lush, green, tranquil, full of bloom places that our Heavenly Father has prepared for those who truly love Him. And we can dwell in these, and we can live and develop love and realize that His providential care is working out for good if we trust in Him and we believe in Him. If we look to David again, we see him as a young boy keeping watch over his father's flocks in the hills surrounding Bethlehem. Young David, tender in years, but at the same time he was bursting with this freshness, this vigor, this enthusiasm, the strength of youth. And as one sister mentioned in her testimony yesterday, we can become frail physically, and we know that we vow to give up this flesh. We never were promised health, vigor from a fleshly standpoint, a physical standpoint. But we can be full of vigor and very fresh spiritually. Because each day we feed on the Word, and we become fresh and renewed and strengthened. And that's what we were promised in this life. And we know we have a faithful Father. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll always be there. If you would simply come to me, approach me. And He's even shown us how to do that. Through the wonderful communion of prayer, through believing on His Son and everything that He stood for, to develop a character that is simple, but it's trusting. And it develops a character that is well-pleasing to the Heavenly Father. If we look also at David's life, we know that he was learning lessons, and he learned them well, of humility. And he performed his task as a shepherd in those countless hours out there in the hills, patiently. And he blended with this patience a tenderness, as he had a love for his flock, his careful eye looking over for their needs, and he provided those needs, and he led them faithfully. We know that the Heavenly Father, our God, was preparing David for a future work. And this solitary life as a shepherd was developing in David the very character that the Heavenly Father was looking for, that He desired in him, even in our lives as we're being developed and we're being shaped, as was brought up yesterday by our brother Charles. You know, David had a call given to him when Samuel came saying, I wish to anoint thee as the future king. He was set back. He was startled. He was puzzled. After all, as we remember the story, there were others in the family, 7 older brothers. But nevertheless, David had that willingness of heart to obey. When he was approached, he obeyed, and then he willingly went about this business. Do we do that in our lives? We're humble. We're meek. But, you know, we don't use that to become discouraged and say, I can't do this. Because with the Heavenly Father's strength, we can. We can be more than overcomers. We can fight a good fight of faith. We can be strengthened spiritually. And we know that this is so because it's happened in each and every one of our lives that is in this room today. So we have David. As it's mentioned in 1 Samuel 16:12, remember the words that he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look at. In And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." And we know that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. Without a doubt, David had proved himself faithful and humble in this service as a shepherd boy. But now God had picked him to be ruler of all of Israel. But we realize that though he was anointed as a king, David was not yet ready to go on to become the king. Saul still reigned over Israel. Then David returned to these hills where he had found comfort and where he was growing and learning more of his heavenly Father. He returned there to care for his father's sheep. How many could truly act as David did? Especially in this world in which we're living today. Everyone wants to be the first and the biggest and the strongest and the best and care little about sacrifice and being humble. In our society, those things are downplayed. They're put back behind the people. You know, and it's forcefulness and aggressiveness that is brought out today. At all costs, to be first. This is the character that we're striving to fight against in our lives. We want to be teachable and meek and submissive and give up our will to do the will of the Heavenly Father as He has called us. So David had this great honor conferred upon him. But we know that yet it was not God's due time, so he was willing to go on with his duties there. He returned to the lowly task of shepherding the flocks. Indeed, this was a real test of humility. And 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, tells us that we are to put on humility. We are also to be clothed in humility, in Colossians 3:12. And we are also told in Ephesians 4:1 to walk with humility. And again, we're doing these things by example. We believe them. We want to show them forth in our lives, to walk with humility, to believe it here, have it in our hearts, and then show it to those who are round about us. But not with any, of course, glimmer of pride and look what I can do and look how good I am. Because you know, there's none righteous. There's none worthy. It's only through God's love and His compassion that He gives any of us a chance in this life. So, it's with a new joy in our heart, even as David had a new joy in his heart, that we can go on each day, realizing that in God's due time, all these former things in this world will pass away. And the hatred and the envy, and when we're mistreated, all that will pass away. And we endure it all cheerfully. All of our tasks that we're given to perform, we do them with joy. Because we're striving to develop those fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit, the ones that were mentioned many times from this platform. And we've heard these words, and we're striving to apply them. We, as David was, are being prepared for that future work. And just think of it right now. To dispense blessings to all the families of the earth. To come in the future, the kingdom. To teach the song of Moses and the Lamb to all those who have that listening ear. The song that we're learning the words to today. In our lives. Each day we know a little bit more of this music. We get a little bit more in tune. And each of us will then be joined in that wonderful chorus beyond the veil when all the voices in the heavens will sing and joy and love and peace will reign forevermore. If we look at the picture that David had as he awaken each day, if we look in the beauty of our surroundings with the flowers and the beautiful evergreens, we know that we are moved with a, a feeling that the Heavenly Father created it all. And we're amazed at His grandeur and His majesty. And we know that it was no different with David. The vines and the trees that he looked upon, he saw that beautiful sunshine, the moon and the stars glistening in the evening sky. All these things brought him closer to God. They brought him closer to God. And they should bring us closer also. We realize that He is that faithful Father, that He has everything in His control in this world, even if it looks like it's in turmoil and confusion. It's all for purpose and all for that grand work, the preparation for all eternity. Let's picture David back in those hills around Bethlehem, sitting on the grassy knoll overlooking the flock as they grazed. Perhaps he had his favorite harp. He took it into his lap, and he would sing sweet, rich words unto his Heavenly Father. He would pour out a melody to the Father of thankfulness and love. His thoughts were so beautifully expressed. Who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain? He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run along the hills. David sang of the tall cedars where the birds would nest, of the hills where the goats could romp, and of the green grass for the cattle and the herbs for man. And David said, Father, in wisdom thou hast made them all. And we can hardly agree with David as we meditate upon the beauty and the quietness of nature. Even as we would go outside here, you know, the city is close by, but you can go out and it's peaceful and tranquil. And you can meditate upon the things that the Heavenly Father wants you to. And He wants us to love Him, and He wants us to thank Him. And to speak the words. Not only filling them in our heart, but they should be welling up and boiling over. These songs of thankfulness and love and praise, because they are indeed words that are pleasing to His ears. O Lord, how manifold are Thy works. In the spring, the blossoming of the trees are like billowing clouds of pink and white, yellows. The songs of the birds awaken us, greeting the dawn with the beautiful melodies that they sing. The earth is full of Thy riches. All these things that David learned as a youth, he would have to draw upon in his mature years as a man. He would draw heavily upon these peaceful hours of communion and the quietness of the hills that he had enjoyed as a boy. But his life in these hills was a demanding one. It called for great discipline. It called for great courage. As we realize in these hills with their beauty, they were lurking in the shadows, beasts of prey, all kinds of intruders that would damage the flock, that would break the quietness and the calmness that he had come to love. And again, there's an example in our lives. We have pitfalls again in these places. If we go out seeking our own and say, I'm pretty good now, I think I can do that, then the danger comes that we can be trapped. And we can't see that predator coming. And of course, there are little things that take us from service, and these are the most that we have to be on guard of, because they are the ones that sneak into our lives. The little things. We have to be so on guard for them, because we know that our adversary is wily and smart. Deception is really the name of the game for him. But, as we know, we have the Heavenly Father with us. He'll watch out for us. He's our great shepherd. Our Lord is our great shepherd, even as David watched over the flock for their needs. And if we strive to hear every word and obey and follow faithfully, He will always be with us and watch out for us and provide the good for our spiritual upliftment and comfort and development. And you know, this is the character of God's people, that they are trusting and loving and kind and look out for each other, because we are all members of that flock. So in all of our experiences, even as in David's experiences, whether they are joyful ones or ones of peril, they all have a purpose, as we know. All of our experiences have a purpose. It's for this molding of our character, to make us pleasing unto God, to make us trusting of good courage. These are the things that we want to develop. And as we read the Psalms, we can see that great love that moved David to write the words. We can realize and appreciate the sorrows that beset him in his life, even as they beset us. And we also recall the great triumphs of his kingly life, along with the trials that he had as a king and the disappointments with his enemies. In one great hour of despair, David found himself driven from his own country. He was beset by the Philistines and plundered by another army. His family was made prisoners. His familiar friends banded together against him, and they even threatened him with death. To whom could David turn? All that he held dear was gone, but the Scriptures tell us that he encouraged himself in the Lord. He reviewed his life. You know, this is a wonderful privilege we have, to look back. We can see the mistakes that we made. And we can see now, through the eyes of the spiritual understanding, the changes we have to make now in our lives. But tomorrow we won't make the same mistakes through His grace and through His will. But we'll be all the better and able to fight that good fight of faith and to resist steadfast to the end. This is our desire, to resist. If we look back in David's life, he recalled many evidences and overruling providence in his life. I'm sure that he thought of the solitude and the love and the peace he had with the flock out in those hills. And his soul and his being, they were refreshed. Remember, he would write, "Thou restorest my soul." And he would restore ours also. He strengthens us. He uplifts us. So David had these great difficulties in his life, but he knew that the Lord could and that God would deliver him and teach him what to do. And he expressed this all through the Psalms. He said, "Teach me and guide me in a straight path. Lead me in the way." Psalm 27:11 and 135:10. Yes, the Psalms tell us much about David's character. And they show us that we are to draw lessons from these words that were so beautifully written. And they show us one thing in David's character that I think is so important. He was quick to say, "Father, help me. I need you. I can't go it alone. Help me." He was always ready to call upon God for help and grace in this time of need. And so in our lives, dear brethren, as we see dark clouds coming over us, and we all have difficulties, we all have trials, and we have some discouragements in our lives. We have illnesses. We have loss of friends. As we take a stand for the truth, we're going to lose friends, worldly friends. But we're going to develop a friend indeed, and that is our Lord and our Heavenly Father. This is our true friend. So we look to this wise friend, our Heavenly Father, for strength. And we see the words of David in Psalm 27:11 once again. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. And of course, we have enemies in our lives. We know that Paul beautifully wrote about these enemies that we have to be fighting against. We mentioned them earlier. The flesh, the adversary, and then this mind resistance to sacrifice. You know, let Brother John do that work. I'd rather fellowship. Or somebody else can pick up that brother or sister. I did it last month. Here again we see that fleshly mind, its resistance to sacrifice creeping in. But when we vowed, our consecration vowed, we vowed to do our all, to give of our all. And this is what we must do. We know that the Heavenly Father will accept no less than that. So He will guide us, and He will teach us, and He will be with us. And as He's doing even all these things, He will go one step further. You know, our Heavenly Father is always willing to go that one step further, as we have to do in our lives, and we have to apply these things. He goes that one step forward. He realizes our imperfections and our limitations. He realizes that every day we're becoming a little bit older, a little bit weaker physically. But He looks at our heart. He wants to see our desire to do His will and to be used in His service. That burning desire, even if we had when we were first hearing those words of truth, they burned in us, they uplifted us, they made us really want to go on and learn more. And that ought to be so strong today that we can't hold it in, no matter what we are like on the outside. Our mind is strong spiritually. Our hearts are filled with love and compassion and understanding. And our hearts rule our thoughts and our actions. It teaches us that we should deny ourselves for the sake of others. It shows us that, it, as in David's life, the world, the flesh, the devil are all beckoning to us to draw us away from this glory and this honor and immortality. But we must do as it says over here, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. These are the thoughts that are in our minds daily. And then we go about finding ways to learn more, to grow and develop, and to seek this kingdom of God. And we do it by being here in the meetings and speaking words of truth to our brethren and to those round about us. That we keep our minds fresh and not to become faint and weary in our minds. Some of us, of course, get down a little bit from time to time because the flesh does creep in. But then the Father can spread that balm over us, and we can get a call or a card or some word of encouragement from our brethren, and we're all out of that. Or we can have the Lord bless us in another way, and that discouragement leaves us. And we become refreshed and renewed. So we all have moments like this. But we petition our Heavenly Father, and we do it with a proper heart attitude. He does answer our prayers, and He uplifts us, and He knows what's good for us, and He helps us. Psalm 25:5, lead me in thy truth, and teach me. For thou art my God of my salvation. On Thee do I wait all the day long. Perhaps when we pray, we're looking for an answer, you know, right away. It might not come for a week, a year. We're not sure. But it will come. And it will be for our good, spiritually. So we need to trust in God and wait upon Him all the day. And by this, of course, it means all of our consecrated lives. This is our day. Teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. Psalm 143:10. Thy Spirit is good. Lead me unto the land of uprightness. Lead me. We want to walk in this narrow way which leads to glory and honor and immortality. We know, though, that it is a difficult way. And it is one that is very hard to follow. But we have to do it sort of like, remember the blinders that they used to put on the horses? We're not looking here and we're not looking there. Oh, I'm missing something in the world. Or looking behind you. Because again, the thought was brought out that there are pitfalls in front of us. And we can stumble, we can fall in them. If we're looking to the side and we're trying to see what we left behind us in this life. No, we left it all behind. Willingly left it behind. And our eyes are pointing down that straight path and narrow way. But the beauty is that that path is illuminated for us. There's a light at the end of that path. And we've been given a glimpse of that light. A glimpse of the glories that lie beyond this life of its trials and testings and sorrows and joys. That light. God's love, where only a few will be privileged to dwell. But just think, we can be of that few. There's that light shining, a beacon to draw us, to get our attention, to comfort us. It's that warmth also that attracts us and wants us to sit at the feet of Jesus, to learn of Him, to learn of the Father's ways. This is what we want to do. We also know that as we walk in this way of truth and light, we are all individual lights. We have been enlightened, our minds enlightened, and we're striving, as we were told from the time we were little children, to let our light shine and not hide it under a bushel. And there's a beautiful thought that I heard expressed from a platform in one of the conventions. In the heavenlies, all these little lights will be joined together to form that one light. That one light so bright that it will dispel all the darkness and hatred and strife and envy and jealousy that's in the world today. This light, the gospel light, dispelling all these things that the adversary has been working on and developing for all these years. They'll be gone. And we become a part of that if we are faithful in the little things of this life and also in the greater things that have been given to us. We love those words that are spoken. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. The one brother was saying in the testimony meeting how thankful he was that he understood a portion of the plan of God with respect to why man dies. We know that there's the resurrection. Just think of all the things that have been revealed unto us. But still, we only know a small portion of it. But if we are faithful, the heavens will be open to us to see our Father face to face and to dwell in that house with Him forever. We need our Heavenly Father as we realize each day how much more, and as we go on in this life, as we mature and grow, putting those former things behind us, we know how much we need Him all the more. Psalm 61:2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Of course, these words come from a lovely hymn that we sing. This hymn speaks of fleeing to a rock in conflicts and sorrows. This rock that is higher than I. Again, it involves a humbleness on our part, a submissive attitude, a meekness. I want to be taught, I want to learn, I want to grow. And you know we will. It tells of fleeing when we're weary, when we're overcome by weaknesses and temptations. And it tells of going to this rock in the calm of the day, as well as in the darkness of sorrow's lonely hour. It speaks of being pressed by foes, yet being able to breathe out all of our woes to Him. Psalm 31:3, For Thou art my rock and my fortress. For Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. We indeed have a fortress, a stronghold. No matter how many foes are camped against us, God is greater. And we know that nothing will stand in the way of His blessings to us, and yes, to the world of mankind. Not any government, not any contrived idea of religion, nothing. So let us therefore, brethren, in our lives, be submissive, be willing to be led, guided, and directed, realizing that all these good things come from above. May we dedicate each day to finding ways for service and being led by Him. May we sing praises to His goodness and for His tender mercies that He has bestowed upon us, which we are not merited to receive, but do through His grace. Amen.